Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes on an Aleph, four lines from the top. The Mishnah said that you can't use straw for hatmana when they're moist, but when they're dry, it can be used. Ask the Gemara, Ibailuhu, in understanding the Mishnah. When we speak about moist, what does it mean? Lachem achmas atzman, when they're naturally moist. That's what they may not be used because they give off a lot of heat. But if they're moist just because they got wet, there is no problem. That's not considered moist. Oidumba, perhaps even lachem machem stavar acher, they became moist because they just got wet. That still makes them be considered moist. Says the Gemara, Toshma, the Mishnah said, we may not use loy betevin, straw, loy bezagin, grape skins, like muchin flocking, like asavim or grass, bezman shein lachem. Says the Gemara. If we say that's moist, any type of moisture, even because it just got wet, it's considered moist. Shaper. Our Mishnah is very understandable. Eli amit lachem machas atzman. The moist is only considered moist if it's naturally moist. Ask the Gemara. How is it possible for this material to be naturally moist? Answers the Gemara. We're talking about the wool that comes between the thighs of the sheep, where the animal, because it's sweat, makes that area moist, and that's why it's naturally moist. Says the Gemara, we learned Brisa, which Rabbi Yishe taught us, time because Yivashim repairs Yivashim, we're allowed to use dry clothing and dry produce, not moist clothing nor moist fruit. Ask the Gemara the same question. Where's the situation where the clothing is naturally moist? And since the Gemara, the same teretz, we're talking about the material that comes from between the thighs of the animal, which is naturally moist. Continues the Mishnah. Taimnin, we may use ksus, clothing, and peiris, produce, may be used for hatmana. Bekanfa yoina, we could use dove's feathers. Ubnasiris shal charoshim, we may use the sawdust from when a carpenter saws, daka, or when the orish lapisht in daka, or with fine flax combings. If you the ice of a daka, you can't use the fine ones, the thin ones, umata begosa, but you could use the ones that are not thin. So the Rishonim point out, why does the Mishnah speak about the noitzis of a yoina more than everything else? Because if we look in the Ramah, the Ramah in Simen Resh Nun Zayin Sif Gimel says all bird feathers are permissible. So the Ramah says the reason Amish spoke about Noitzus Silyoina because they're the most commonly used feathers. The Malbim says that other feathers are not really usable for Hatmana because they're so light they fly away. This is sturdier, and that's why they're a better material. However, only, says the Rishash, going back to what we just discussed, the feathers that are on the outside of the animal may be used. But the inner feathers are like what we spoke about before. The part that's naturally moist would not be allowed to be used. Begins the Gemara. Amar Reb Yanai, Tefillin Tzrichin Guf Noki, Kalish Bal Knafayim. The halach is that tefillin, when you wear tefillin, you have to be careful that your body is clean, just like we see that Elisha was, and we'll see why he's called Elisha Bal Kafayim in a moment, he was careful. So ask Tosfos, how do we know that Elisha was careful? So answers Tosfos, if Elisha wasn't careful that he should always be clean where he's wearing tefillin, he would not have had this nais that the Gemara is going to describe. If we see that he had this nais, it must be that he was always makbid to be clean when he wore his tefillin. Ask the Gemara, Mahi, what's the whole episode that's going on here? Answers the Gemara, Abaya Omar, Abai says that what Rabbi Yonai means is that you can only wear tefillin if you can know shlo yafich behem, that you're not going to pass any gas. If you could be certain that you're not going to pass any gas when wearing tefillin, then and only then may you wear tefillin. Rav Amar, Rav says what it means is shloi yufir, shloi yishaman. You have to be able to be careful that you won't fall asleep in them. And as Rashi explains, we're not concerned about passing gas because a person can control himself from passing gas. And therefore, according to Rashi, Rav is coming to be mekel. And saying that gas, I'm not worried about. A person could control himself. The only thing I'm worried about is that you shouldn't be fall asleep. Because once you fall asleep, we need to be concerned that you may pass gas and then you don't know because you're sleeping. Tosfos, however, learns just the opposite. And Tosfos says that Rav is coming to be machmer. That Rav is not saying that, Abai says you have to be worried that you shouldn't pass gas, to which Rava certainly agrees. And Rava says, not only do you have to worry that you shouldn't pass gas in them, but you also have to worry that you shouldn't fall asleep in them. There's another machloikus Rashi in Tosfos. Do we only have to worry about gas, or do we have to worry about if a person falls asleep that he's going to have an emission? Rashi seems to be concerned about an emission during sleeping as well, an emission of keri. Tosfos is not concerned. Another issue, what about a shinas arai? So the halacha is that a shinas arai is mutter technically when you're wearing tefillin. Again, this discussion is only in the world that they lived in where they wore tefillin the whole day. In our world, where we only wear tefillin, but when we daven, the conditions are much different. Says the Gemara, "V'amai karle bal kanafayim." Why was Elisha called bal kanafayim? Answers the Gemara, "Shapamachas gozer malchus roimi arish gzeirol Yisrael." There was a decree against Klal Yisrael. Shekol ha-meneich tefillin yinakuris moichai. Whoever wears tefillin, they're going to pierce his brain. And the Masha says that it was about tefillin shel roish. Because the pasuk says kishem Hashem nikra lechov yorum mecha, and therefore the Akum had a particular hatred towards tefillin shorosh. Hay Elisha menichem, and Elisha would wear the tefillin v'yetz l'shuk, and he went to the street. Ra'kaz the achet, and there was an officer that saw him wearing the tefillin. Ratz miponov, and Elisha ran away. V'ratz achrov, and the officer pursued him. Once the officer caught up to him, he took him off his head. Elisha took him off his head and held him in his hands. And the officer asks Elisha, "What are you holding?" "I'm holding the wings of a yoina." And he indeed took out he opened up his hand. And what was found in his hands? Was found in his hands were the wings of a dove. So he found the wings of a dove. So he said, "Lefikach," and because of this tremendous nace, "Kono soy Elisha bal kafayim." He's called Elisha bal kafayim. Asked the Gemara, "Umashna kafayina?" Why indeed was the nace that he saw kafayina? Answers the Gemara, "Mishum the imshul knesses Yisrael yoyna." Klal Yisrael is compared to a yoyna. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Kan fe yoyna nechba bekesef, ma yoyna knofer maginus alea." Just like the dove, the wings protected, af Yisrael mitzvahs maginus alem, the mitzvahs owa protect us. So from here we see that Rashi explains that what makes a yoyna different than everything else, that somebody that comes to hold battle with the yoyna, it uses its head. And that's Klal Yisrael, they use the head. Tosfos quotes a medrash, all other birds, when they get tired, they need to rest. The yoyna, when it gets tired, it flies with one wing and rests with the other wing. The Sefer Chafetz Hashem explains, all other birds, even though they have wings, they use their feet to trample on their prey. And then they take that prey and they put it into their mouth. The Yoina only uses its wings when it goes to battle. So too, Klal Yisrael only relies on the mitzvahs when they go to battle. And the Chasam Sofer explains that the Gemara says later in our Masechta, says the Chasam Sofer, and Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, that Klal Yisrael, not besides Elisha, were not ready to be Moisa Nefesh for Tefillin. And Rashi explains, because we see that only Elisha was Moisa Nefesh. Says Tosfos, that even if we look at Elisha, and we'll speak about this more in a minute, he said that they're kan for Yoina. So says the Chasam Sofer, maybe we could have an issue with Elisha. Why are you calling them kan for Yoina? You should have been tough, and you should have said that they're tefillin. Still, he had a nace. That's the marshal to the kan for Yoina, that even though the Yoina isn't b'shleimus, like I said a moment ago, it flies with one wing, and it runs with one wing, and it rests with one wing, so it's never flying completely. So too, Elisha did a mitzvah, but he didn't do it with the whole shleimus. If he really wanted to do it, he should have said that these are tefillin. And that's why it's a good comparison to the Yoina. Tosfos goes on to say, since we see that the tefillin are compared to the kafir Yoina, so when we wrap the ritzuis around that tefillin, we all know we wrap the ritzuis around the tefillin, says Tosfos, we should wrap them like the wings of a Yoina. We should put them around the sides of the tefillin shel Rosh. They should look like the wings. So that's the tefillin shel Rosh. But the Divrei Chaim says that not only should we do that by the tefillin shel Rosh, we should also do it by the tefillin shel Yad. But he points out that even though we're supposed to do it by the tefillin shel Yad, he says we should only do it on the side where you don't have the ritzua that looks like a yud sticking out. But in the part that has the ritzua that looks like the yud sticking out, there you're allowed to do it. There you shouldn't put a ritzua on top of that kesher. So the question is, there are two questions. The first question is, how was Elisha allowed to be Moisa Nefesh? Are you allowed to be Moisa Nefesh? This is only a mitzvah to say. It's not one of the Gimel Averis Chamurus, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim. So why was he allowed to be Moisa Nefesh? So says the Gemara that if they're trying to destroy all of the Torah, then you're allowed to be Moisa Nefesh. And that was here. It wasn't just that they were looking for the tefillin, says the Knesset Gedolah. They were really looking for all the mitzvahs. The Knesset Gedolah gives another teretz that you're not allowed to be Moisa Nefesh only when the people who are coming after you are right in front of you. And if you'll do it, you'll be killed. But here, the guy wasn't right there when Elisha put on the tefillin, and that's why he was allowed to be Moisa Nefesh. The Meches Chinuch says, depends if it's a mitzvah that you know you can't fulfill versus a mitzvah that you think you can fulfill. And therefore, he thought he could fulfill the mitzvah without getting caught, and that's why he was Moisa Nefesh. The Sefer Chinuch says that you're not allowed to be Moisa Nefesh if it's not one of those three mitzvahs. But an Adam Godel, who's a chassid and a Yirush Shemayim, who feels that it's the Tzor HaShoah to be Moisa Nefesh, maybe Moisa Nefesh even on a mitzvah kala, on every mitzvah. There are Rishonim that disagree. But now the question is just the opposite. Now the question is, so if Elisha felt that he should be Moisa Nefesh, then why did he take off the tefillin when the officer came to him and he didn't even admit that they were tefillin? He said that they were kan for Yoina. If Elisha feels so strongly that you have to be Moisa Nefesh, why did he do so? So Tosfos answers that there's no need to be Maisa Nefesh only when they want, when the Akum want us to behave like them. But if they don't want us to behave like them, we don't have to be Maisa Nefesh. The difficulty with that Teretz is, so why did he put on tefillin in the first place? Other Rishonim say that if it's a situation where the guy could force you not to do the mitzvah anyway, you don't have to be Maisa Nefesh. So this, the Ritva says this. So the way I understand the Ritva, what the Gemara means to say is as follows. Elisha felt as long as the officer is not in front of him, he could get away with it. And therefore, he's going to do whatever he can to do the mitzvah. But once the officer is there, that the officer could force him anyway to take off the tefillin, there's no point for him to continue wearing the tefillin. Another teretz that the Ritva suggests is like we only wear tefillin during davening, when we're being mekabel ol macha shemayim. So Elisha said krishma, he was mekabel ol macha shemayim, and then he had no longer a chiv to wear tefillin. Dame Kshayla gives a different teretz. We learned in this sugya that when you go to sleep, or you can't control yourself from passing gas, daloch is you're allowed to wear, you're not supposed to wear tefillin. So he says, from here we see that tefillin is not a mitzvah that we're obligated to wear all of the time. As our sugya began, there are times that you shouldn't wear tefillin. And therefore, since there are times that you're not obligated to wear the tefillin, therefore, Elisha was allowed to take off tefillin. Another teretz that the Rambam says, not only if you're concerned that you're going to pass gas or you're going to fall asleep, don't you wear tefillin, but if somebody is, the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel says Misha Mitzdar or Misha Ain Datam Yusheves Alav. If somebody is not in the proper frame of mind, the halacha is that he's potam and not tefillin. And therefore, Elisha was in such a frame of mind, and therefore he was allowed to take off the tefillin. Certainly, when the officer was approaching him, he no longer was able to have the proper concentration on the tefillin. Another teretz is that Elisha was concerned that the officer would confiscate the tefillin. And certainly, as much as Elisha was ready to do whatever it takes to wear the tefillin, he wasn't ready to allow the tefillin to become treated improperly by the officer confiscating them. And therefore, when the officer approached him, he quickly removed the tefillin. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, the Nesiris Shel Charshin, one is allowed to use the Nesiris Shel Charshin, the carpenter's sawdust, or the fine flax combing. Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, says you can't use the fine ones, you can use the not fine one. Ibailuhu. So now ask the Gemara, in understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda and the Nesiris Shel Charshin Koy, he's speaking about when he differentiates between fine and not fine. He's talking about the carpenter sawdust, or is he talking about the linen? Tashma, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nurushal Pishtan Daka Harei Kezevel, the thin linen is treated like Zevel, which is Mice of Hevel. Shmam enough, from here, from this price, it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda Nurushal Pishtan Koi, Shmam enough, he's only talking about Nurushal Pishtan, he's not talking about anything else. Says the Mishnah, Taimna B'shalchin, one can insulate with animal hides, Matatlan son, and you may move them. And there's no concern of muksa. Begizei tzemer, you're allowed to use wool shearings, they metalton, I say. But you're not allowed to move them because they're muksa. So what do you do? Ketzuroisa, if you use these wool shearings for the hatmana, how do you remove them from the pat? Noitlas akisui, remove the lid from the pat, and the shearings which are on top of them will fall off. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains that the reason we're allowed to move it this way is because since it's Tzorech L'Mekoymai, therefore you can move it. Now, the question is, we discussed at the end of our previous perek, the halacha bosses l'davar osur, and that the halacha is that something that has muksa on top of it becomes a bosses l'davar osur. So the question is, why isn't the lid of the pot that our Mishnah just said you're allowed to move, why doesn't it become a bosses to the Gizeh Tzemer, which our Mishnah clearly indicates is muksa? So Rashi explains that the definition of a bosses l'davar asur is when the bosses is there for the davar muksa. The main reason you put a lid on top of the pot is not to have these wool shearings on top of your pot, and therefore it's not a bosses. And the Ran takes this a step further. It's not that the kisui is the pot lid is a bosses to the Gizeh Tzemer. On the contrary, the Gizeh Tzemer are here for the lid, not the lid for the top. However, points out the Magen Avraham, it has to be a situation where the key, where the lid is accessible without touching the wool. But if you have to move the wool to get to the lid, then you have no right to move the wool, because as we just said, the wool is muksa. When you move the lid, the wool moves along with it. Since this is not a direct movement of the davar muksa, it's called tilta min atzad, and the halacha is that tilta min atzad, we spoke about this also, that tilta min atzad that's not letzoruch davar muksa is mutter. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, kupa, when we have the, what you should do is take the entire box, mata al tzida, and move it on its side, and v'naitel, and pour out the contents of the back, and therefore, and you'll pour out what you need, and then put it back. Shemi yitoil, but you have to be careful not to take it out completely from its covering. Because if you're going to take it out completely from its covering, you won't be able to put it back in. Because you can't move what it's insulated in, because they're muksa. The chayim ramrim, noitel machzer, we're not concerned. So Rashi explained that the concern is that if you, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I may come to touch the muksa, and I'm not allowed to touch the muksa. However, others say the concern is that the wool may fall in, it may collapse, and if the wool falls in and collapses, you're going to have to make a new hole, and that's called making hatmana from scratch. And making hatmana from scratch, explains the Rambam, is Osir, obviously, on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbi Yonasan ben Achnoi, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, they were sitting, Yosef Chanina ben Chama Gabayu, and Chanina ben Chama was sitting in front of them. And as we learned, Rabbi Chanina ben Chama was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, before he passed away, said that Rabbi Chanina ben Chama should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Chanina was reluctant to become the Rosh Yeshiva, and he gave the position to Rabbi Ephes, because Rabbi Ephes was 2.5 years older than Rabbi Chanina. However, after Rabbi Ephes passed away, Rabbi Chanina ben Chama was appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So says the Gemara, Yosef Yonasan ben Achnoi, Rabbi Elazar ben Elazar, Yosef Chanina ben Chama Gabayi, become a Boilei. When we speak about the hides, Sholchem Shabbos Bayis Tanan, are they hides that are owned by a private individual, and therefore the person will use it as a rug, and therefore they're not muksa. Avos Shal Umin, the hides that are owned by a person in the leather business, Kivin the Kapra Layu, he wants to use them to make kalim out of them, make rugs out of them, sell them, Loy Matatin Aluhu, and therefore they're muksa. Even the hides that are owned by Uman are not muksa. For Koshkein, and certainly the hides that are owned by Balabayas are not muksa. Amla Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, Mistabra shel Balabayas Tanan. If I have to understand the Mishnah, I would say the Mishnah is talking about the hides that belong to Balabayas. Ava shel Uman, the hides that belong to an Uman, there we need to be concerned that Kapra Layu, that he's Makbid and the muksa. Amalei Rav Chanina bar Chama, he disagrees. And he says, Kach Amar Vishmo bar Rabbi Yossi, Abba Shalcha Hava, my father was a professional tanner, Vama, and he would tell us on Shabbos, Haviyu Shalcha V'nei Shavaleim, bring the hides and let's sit on them. And as Rashi explains, he used to say this during the week. But the point is that since he used to say it, is a proof that he was a makbid on it. Because if he was makbid on it, then he would have never allowed them to be taken for private use. The Rebbeinu Chananel disagrees, and he says that it wasn't just that during the week his father would say, bring the hides. It was on Shabbos that he said, bring the hides. And therefore we have a real Maaser Rav to prove that the hides of a Baal HaBayis are not muktzah. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in a Braisa, the Sharm Shah Baal HaBayis, the wooden boards of a private individual, Matatlanoson, may be moved. They're not considered muktzah. However, Vishal Uman, those that belong to a Uman, to a craftsman, a Matatlanoson. But if it was intended to be used, Benkach, whether they belong to an individual or to an Uman, they can be moved. So we see that under normal circumstances, shall Uman aim a tatl son. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from the Sorim to Sholchim. Shani in the Sorim, when we speak about boards, the Kapralayu. Their people are much more careful that they shouldn't get ruined, they shouldn't bend. And therefore, a Baal HaBayis will be careful not to use them for private use. And since they'll be careful not to use them for private use, that's why the muksa. Furthermore, the Achroinim debate what type of muksa they are. The Levush says that they're muksa machmas gufa. They're not considered a keli. And therefore you can't move it. L'tzarech gufay u'mekoymein. However, the Gross seems to learn that the muksumach chsarim kiss, and so too is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav and the Tehillah L'David. The Chazon Ish seems to learn that it's muksa, it's a keli shelmach d'lisser, and according to the Chazon Ish's approach, it would be much more lenient in the halacha that you can move it. Toshma, so says the Gemara. There's a brisa. The brisa says, iris leather, bein avudim bein shen avudim, whether they were processed or not processed. The halacha is mutal tatlam b'Shabbos, they may be moved on Shabbos. Loi omer avudim, where did Chazal make a difference? If it was processed, it's only lenient tumah b'vad. Only ones that were processed are mekabel tumah. If they weren't processed, they're not mekabel tumah. Now, isn't the Braisa saying that this is the halacha under all circumstances? My love, loi shnor shal Baal HaBayis, loi shnor shal Uman. Under all circumstances, this is the halacha. So how are you telling me that the Uman's iris are muksa? And it says, the Gemara, no. The Braisa is strictly speaking about the iris of Baal HaBayis. But says the Gemara, Avos Shel Uman, when we speak about the iris that belong to a Uman, my, what would be halacha? Ema tatlin, the muksa. Says the Gemara, Yehochi, I have a question. Hadatani, the Braisa says, that where is there a difference if it was processed or not? Hadatani, lo amru avudim elinyin tumulvad. The difference if it was processed or not processed is relevant to Hilchas Tuma. But the Gemara could have said the Braisa could have said a bigger chiddush in Hilchas Muksa, asked the Gemara, if you are correct. And the Gemara should have said, lifting the listener but the dog. But medvar mamurim, when is the halacha that the leather is not muksa, b'shal Baal HaBayis, ab b'shal Uman? But if belongs to the Uman, then it's muksa. Answers the Gemara, kul Baal HaBayis kamairi. The halacha is talking only about leather that's owned by the Baal HaBayis. We're not talking about an Uman. And the Braisa is telling us that the iris of a Baal HaBayis, number one, are never muksa. But regarding Hilchas Tuma, there's a difference if it was processed or not processed. Says the Gemara Ketanai, and this is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Oyer Shel Baal HaBayis, Metatlan Oson, they're not muksa. V'shal Uman ain't Metatlan Oson, because they are muksa. Reb Yosemer, Echad Zev, Metatlan Oson, it makes no difference, they're never muksa. So it's very interesting that I saw the Shlom makes a very interesting observation. He says many times when we find a Machlokes Amaroim, and then we discover that the Tanoim argued over the same issue that the Amaroim argued, the Gemara asks, Lema Katanoi, this is a Machloikis Tanoim. So why over here doesn't the Gemara ask Lema Katanoi? Now, what are they arguing? This is already Machlokes Tanoim. So the Shlo makes the following point. The Gemara just says Ketanoi. So the Shlo says as follows. When the Gemara assumed that we could have a Teretz, so there the Gemara says, Lema Ketanoi, because it's difficult to say, as we always explain, Lema Ketanoi, that the Amoraim were arguing over something that the Tanoim already argued. Because if the Tanoim already argued, it's expected that the Amoraim will know every Machlokes Tanoim. And therefore, the Gemara legitimately asks, Lema Ketanoi. But in a situation, says the Shlo, where there's no way to answer that question, so instead of just asking a question of Lema Ketanoi, and then not being able to answer, the Gemara says, Ketanoi, that this is the same Machlokes as the Machlokes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, Hada Yosvi, then the same individuals, Rabbi Yonasan ben Chanoi and Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, were sitting in front of Rav Chanina ben Chama, and they asked the following question. They asked, "Hada Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Ovis Malachas Aboim Chasa Achas. There's 39 Ovis Malachas. Connected me. Where does the number 39 come from?" And as the Rishonim explain, the many Malachas that are very similar. Since there are many Malachas that are very similar, why are we going out of the way to separate them into separate Malachas? Why don't we just say that they're less than 39? Why are we so anxious to have 39? To which he answered, Amalhu, Rav Chanina ben Chama. So Rav Chanina ben Chama responded, Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. The way we make a determination what's a malacha or not a malacha is what was done in the Mishkan. As Rashi says in Chumash, the Torah teaches us the dinim of Shabbos before it teaches us the halacha building the Mishkan. To teach us that as much as it's important and as much it was a mitzvah to build the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan is not doicha the Shabbos. And as the Egli Tal explains, the Torah, by putting these two halachas together, these two concepts together, building the Mishkan and Chilul Shabbos, the Torah is teaching us that the cause the Torah had to tell us that building the Mishkan may not be done on Shabbos. Why did the Torah teach us that? Because the Torah is telling us, because whatever is done in the building of the Mishkan represents Chilul Shabbos. But now the question is, from which activities in the building of the Mishkan are considered malachas? So the Meiri says that they're learned from anything that was done before the Mishkan was built, not from things that after Mishkan was built. And that opinion of the Egli Tal as well. The Rav Haigoin says that many of the malachas are involving making bread from the malach of Chayrish to the malach of Oifa. And they were for the Kabbanis, for the Asiris, for the Karban Mincha. So the halach is, says the Egli Tal, we learn from what was done in building the Mishkan, and we also learn from what was done for Kabbanis. But anything else is not included. Now, ask the Gra. Throughout Shas, there's a machloikis if we learn Smuchim. If we learn the fact that two parshas are next to each other, does that have any meaning? Ask the Gra. So according to the Manda Omer, that learned Smuchim, so we could understand the connection. But as the Gra, according to the Manda Omer, that we don't learn Smuchim, so what's the connection between Shabbos and the Mishkan? So he says, there's a Gzeres Shava, Melacha, Melacha. Omer, Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Elazar comment, Kach Omer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, Lekunya. Keneged, Melacha, Melachdoi, Melachas, B'Taira. The reason how we get to 39 malachas is because we find the word malacha, malachta, and malachas in the Torah, aboim chos achas, 39 times. This is a very difficult point because if you count the amount of times malacha mentioned in the Torah, you'll find 65. So how do you say it's only 39? Even though, as the Gemara says, there's one that's open, but there's so many others that are not open. So Tosfos Yontif explains that we only count the word malacha where it doesn't say an azhara, a warning, or an oynish. The Shara Ephraim says that, and I saw that the Maral says that for it as well, that the right girsa in our Gemara is malacha or malachtoi, which is, and we take out malachas. And if you look at malacha, malachtoi, you'll have the 40, which Dara Gemara is going to ask, which one of the 40 should be omitted. Another pshat that I saw from the Yefei Anayim, hamalacha should be inserted instead of malacha. There are 20 places where malacha is mentioned without the hay. So if we take the 20 off the 60, the number will work. That's take care of 20. And then two places it says malachtecha, and there two places it says malaches, and one says malachtoi. That's another 5. So take 20 plus 5 off the 65, we have the 40 that the Gemara is looking for. So now ask the Gemara. By Rabbi Yosef, the Yovah Bais Las Malachtoi. The Pasuk says that Yosef with the Eishes Paitifar, the Yovah Bais Las Malachtoi. Ask the Gemara, Minyonahu, is it one of the 40, one of the 39, or Loi? Is it one of the 39 or not? Says Amalei Bais, who says Abaitim, V'leis a Sefer Torah V'limni. Why don't you just bring a Sefer Torah and count? Miloi Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Zozu Misham. We find in another situation where they needed to count. The Torah the Gemara Masech, the Gedushin, the Aflam Rabba Aleph, they were counting the words of the Torah. And the word Gochoin in Parsha Shmini is, the Gemara said, the middle word of the Torah. But they weren't sure it's from the first half or from the second half. So the Gemara says there, take out a Sefer Torah and count. And indeed the Gemara says, Lo yizozu misham ad shehaviyu Sefer Torah umanam. So why over here don't you do the same? So I saw that the Mefarshim discuss why was Rabbi Yosef so anxious to know specifically about this pasuk, how to understand the pasuk v'yavah bayis b'malachtoi. So the Sefer Ben Yoyada explains that two terutzim. One terutz is, because this is the first time in the Torah the word malachtoi appears. So since it's the first time it appears, that's why he's anxious to know the first time. Another pshat is, the Gemara Masechta Daf Lamed Vav has machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, what is the pshat in the pasuk of Yavai Habaisa Las Malachtoi? Does it mean Malacha Mamish, to do his work, or does it mean to have relations with Eishes Petifar? Now he didn't know how to decide. His two Rabbeim, Rav and Shmuel, are having an argument. So he figured by understanding this Gemara, he'll be able to get the answer, what is the right pshat in that pasuk. Amalei, Kikam Sapkali. My question is, this another pasuk. The pasuk says, Meshum Deksiv, the pasuk says, V'amalocha Ha'yisadayim. It says, when they finished building the Mishkan, the malocha was finished. And now the question is, if we'll say that it means actual work, so that pasuk is from the 39, Miminyanahu, it'll be one of the 39, and we'll have to say that the pasuk by Yosef that says V'yov Abayis Las Malachtoi, V'akum Andor Malasat Tzrochim Nichnas, we'll have to explain that he was coming to have relations with his Eishes Petifar, and it doesn't mean Malacha. Oidilma, maybe we'll say V'yov Abayis Las Malachtoi means Malacha Mamish, M'minyonayhu, V'hai, and this pasuk V'amalacha Yisadayim is not one of the 39, because Kachikama, all it means is the Shalom Le'avidita, that they finished bringing the donations, but has nothing to do with Malacha, and the Gemara remains with a Teiku. So, the man that says that he came to have relations with his wife, with Potiphar's wife, because the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, "Asidim achecha likasev al avnei eifed." All of the names of the shvatim will be engraved on the eifed. Ritzoncha shimcha shimcha mibineim. Do you want to be excluded? And as Tosfos explains that Rashi, the pasuk says, "Vein ish mi anshei bayis b'toicha bayis." There was nobody from the family there, but Yaakov Avinu was there. So the Maralbach asks a question. The Torah tells us that Yosef was a tzaddik. So if we could say that V'yov Bais Las Melachta means his work, why would we say the other way that he came to do this in Aveira? So why would we want to say something bad about Yosef if we could say something good? So Tosfos explains, because the pasuk says V'yov HaBaisa, HaBaisa is Loshem Bia. The Maralbach explains that if all Yosef was coming to do was Melachta, his work, so why does the Torah have to mention it? Of course, so he came to work. The fact that the Torah says it is a proof that it should not be taken literally. On the other hand, the Yun Yaakov says, the reason we might want to explain it that it means to have relations with Eishes Potiphar, because we see that Yosef was punished. He was put into jail. And why was he put into jail? So if we say that he had an intention to do an Aveira, so now we understand why he was put into jail. But if he didn't intend to do anything wrong, why did he deserve jail? And we have to worry more about Hashem, says the Yun Yaakov, than about Yosef. And therefore, the Gemara remains, that's why we want to maybe say V'yov Beis Las Melachtoi means to have relations with Eishes Potiphar. It's also interesting to point out that the Gemara here remains with a teiku. And the question is, usually a teiku is only when there's a shaila that we need to know the halacha. And we don't know the halacha, so the Gemara remains with a teiku. There's no halacha that's on the table here, so why is the word teiku used? Says the Gemara, Tanya, there's a braisa that says, command the Omer k'neged avodas ha-mishkan, that it's corresponding to the avodas ha-mishkan. The Tanya, the Mishnah's braisa says, ein chayoven ela melacha k'yotz b'hoitz b'mishkan. The only time you chayv in Shabbos is for melacha that the similar melacha was done in the Mishkan. And the Gemara explains itself. Heim zaru, they planted, Vatim loytizru, and you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Heim katzru, they cut, Vatim loytizru. Heim helwas akroshim akarkal agola, they took the kroshim from the ground to the agola, which means from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, and therefore the halacha is Vatim loytachnitzu Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Heim aridus kroshim agola l'karka, which means from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, so you too, Atim loytizru Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. Don't carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Heim hotzim me'agola l'agola, they carried crushing from one agola to another agola. V'atam hotzim Rishus HaYochid l'Rishus HaYochid. Ask the Gemara, Rishus HaYochid l'Rishus HaYochid my covered. Why are you not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid? Answers the Gemara, Abai v'rov adam tavayu, v'tamer v'ad bar ahava. It's talking about a case, Rishus HaYochid l'Rishus HaYochid derech Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara began by giving us examples of different melachas, cutting and planting. And the question that Tosfos asks, the word Klai Yisrael in the Midbar, they were in a desert. So how do we planting and cutting? So Tosfos answers that when Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar, the earth that they were on grew fruits and vegetables. And he says, the Medrash says, that the Be'erish Shel Miriam, which traveled with them in the Midbar, would feed all of the ground in the Midbar. And that's how they grew. The Pnei Yeshua says that Klai Yisrael brought with them Samamonim from before. And they had no need to plow and plant. But explains the Pnei Yeshua, to have those Samamonim, to have those spices and dyes, they did have to plant and cut. They didn't have to plant and cut in the Midbar. But from there we see that planting and cutting is considered a malacha.